Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Someone once said the following: when children lose their parents, they are called orphans. When a wife loses her husband, she's a widow. And when a husband loses his wife, he's a widower. Why isn't there a word for parents when they lose a child? Perhaps it's because the word is too horrible to speak. I always think of that quote when I hear of parents losing a child. Hi, everyone. My name is Tricia, and you are listening to Tricia's True Crime Radio. Let's get some of the legal stuff out of the way first, shall we? The opinions expressed on Tricia's True Crime Radio are those of the guests and the host and do not reflect anything to do with WebSleuths.com LLC, a completely, entirely different corporation that is not connected to this show, and neither is my other forum, formsforjustice.org. Okay, so we take responsibility for our opinions, and they're ours only. Tonight, we are going to take another look at the death of 20-year-old Morgan Ingram. Now, we had Morgan's mother, Toni, on the show. And since then, Toni's blog about Morgan has received hundreds of thousands of hits. Morgan's thread on Web Sleuths is one of our most active. Morgan's family is convinced someone was stalking her and eventually killed her. Toni, her mother, would meet her in the driveway with pepper spray. She was so worried about her. And in fact, Morgan ended up sleeping in their closet. They had a big walk-in closet. Now, this is all because someone kept throwing what sounded like rocks at Morgan's window. Then, Toni said, when Morgan began sleeping in their big walk-in closet, the rock throwing continued at the window at the top of the walk-in closet. Now, this was the majority, not all, but the majority of the stalking was the throwing the rocks at the window every night. Believe me, that can be very, very terrifying. Just saying it now, maybe it doesn't sound like it, but imagine you're alone at night in your bedroom and you hear that and you know somebody's out there throwing rocks. Very, very scary. Morgan's family is convinced that the stalker killed her and she did not commit suicide like the sheriff and the coroner said. Now, they believe the stalker came in their home, forced drugs down Morgan's throat. One time, Toni said they were poured down her throat, and that's how she died. Now, the autopsy report didn't say anything about any injuries. There was no bruising, no sign of strangulation whatsoever. There was nothing on her body to indicate there was a struggle whatsoever. Chloroform has been suggested. If chloroform was used, there would have been burns. So that's what Morgan's mother is saying. And then later on, Toni blogged that she said the stalkers did come in the night Morgan died, but Morgan died of fright. So it's kind of going back and forth here a little bit. Now, Toni said they have several videos of the actual stalker. We have not seen them. I believe we've seen one video of somebody in a hoodie walking across the driveway, if I'm not mistaken. Now, Web Sleuths was able, through a public documents request, we were able to receive the autopsy report on Morgan and the toxicology report. Now, before we posted these reports, I tried to contact Toni. I called her twice. There was no voicemail. I emailed her. I couldn't get in touch with her. I felt it was only appropriate to tell her that we were going to post these documents. Now, Toni does not have any of these documents on her site. After the last email I sent Toni, we waited about 2 hours to see if she would contact me, and she did not. So we posted the autopsy report and the toxicology report. Toni later then blogged that she was notified of the reports by an email. I just want to make it clear that at Web Sleuths, we do our best to take into the account the feelings of the people who have lost a loved one. It wasn't like we just sent her an email and then minutes later threw up the autopsy report and the toxicology report. Not at all. We did our best to respect their feelings before we posted those reports and give her time to talk to us. Unfortunately, we were unable to contact her. Like I said, the toxicology report and the autopsy report on Morgan are documents that Toni told me she has in her possession, but they are not posted on her blog. And Web Sleuths is going to be receiving the actual police report sometime next week, and as soon as we do, we will post it. But I want to tell you something. After tonight's show, we will be moving Morgan's thread to a members-only area out of the crimes in the news. Why? Because as far as we meaning my business partner and co-owner Sue and myself, we cannot see that a crime has been committed at this time. Without the video of the stalker, which Toni says she has, or other evidence, We cannot say a crime was committed. Now, I want to stress very strongly that that can change on a dime. As soon as we see something that is reasonable and suggests a crime, be it stalking or murder or harassment or any crime, we'll put that thread right back in the crimes in the news. We want to help this family any way we can. Now, as you know, we invited Toni Ingram to be on the show tonight to discuss the death of her daughter. She said yes, and then on Friday, she said that she'd be traveling and unable to do the show. Toni, if you are listening, we would love you to call in. Please don't feel like you're going to be attacked. We just have some questions, and there's just some things that are troubling us. We want to help you. The number is 760-825-0933. We welcome you anytime during the show to call in. I also sent Toni an email, and I offered to do a show with her anytime, day or night, any day. Now, I can do a show at 3 a.m. on Wednesday if that's the only time Toni has. So anytime Toni wants to talk and get her opinion out there and get whatever she wants out there, I'm open and we'll do it literally any hour on any day, whenever Toni can. This show is not going to be a Trash the Morgan show. Never would I have a show like that on the air. What we're going to do is discuss the questions and the thoughts we have about Morgan's case. No matter what anyone thinks, the Morgans lost their daughter. And there is no word to describe that because it is too horrible a word to speak. Our guests tonight include our very wonderful Rain. Rain is one of the main posters in our unclaimed forum. I believe she had 39 matches last month, or this month in September. Rain is very adept at dealing with the coroner's office and the police departments. That's all she does all day long. So she knows the ins and outs about working with the coroner and dealing with people who have lost loved ones. Also joining us is Dr. Elizabeth. She has a PhD in counseling from Kansas, and she is very familiar with Morgan's case and has looked at it extensively and is here to help us discuss it. Let's see. Rain, are you with us, my dear?
I am. Good evening, Tricia.
Good evening. And Dr. Elizabeth, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, let's start with the autopsy report. Like I mentioned, Toni told me she had the autopsy report. And I want to say that the Morgans were very surprised that we were able to get our hands on the autopsy and toxicology and later the police report. And it's very simple. It's just a public request letter. Since it's the certain documents are always in the public domain, and depending on what the police department wants to release, they have to send it to you. It's very easy to do. You just write a letter saying, I would like, you know, whatever documents you have available in this such and such case, and they have to give it to you. And that's how we got the autopsy report. I want to go to Rain first. Rain, you've looked over the autopsy report. Now, nobody here is saying that we are a specialist in we're not a doctor as far as medical doctor and autopsies. We did have somebody scheduled to come on that was in the medical field who unfortunately was unable to make it. But looking at it just as a layman and looking at it from a common sense type area, Rain, what did the autopsy report tell us?
Before I say anything about the autopsy, I would first like to say if Ingrams are listening, I'm passing along my condolences on the loss of your daughter, and I'm very sorry. Our sympathies and prayers from our family are with you during this time. As far as the autopsy report, just looking at the autopsy report in layman terms, I see suicide. I don't see an accidental overdose. I don't see anything that would suggest murder. I see no trauma to the body. It's point blank simple. There was no trauma anywhere on her body. Nothing that would state, as you'd already stated, regarding anything with chloroform, because chloroform does leave black burn marks. Again, I'm not a doctor. This is just my opinion. But with what I've dealt with in the past, there's nothing there that suggests a murder. If it was a murder and something that suggested it, I would be the first one screaming at the top of my lungs. This is wrong. But I do not see anything in the autopsy report that shows a murder or any evidence of a murder.
Dr. Elizabeth, we're going to go to you next. Let me remind our audience that Toni told us the night that Morgan came home, the night that she died, Tony and Morgan got into a fight, and I guess it was not very pleasant. Tony was very angry that Morgan was home late. Now, Tony's a 20-year-old, and I think she got in like at 10 o'clock. It wasn't very late, but Tony was very nervous for her daughter because of the stalking. And it seemed like Morgan was trying to, I'm sure it was stressing her out to no end, but she was also trying to live a life. So she came home, she got in a big argument with her mother, and went to bed, never got in her pajamas. It was just her street clothes. And Dr. Elizabeth, you have a PhD in counseling. I'm sure you've dealt with a lot of suicides. I know you can't comment deeply on anything because you haven't talked to Tony. You haven't, met with the family. But just if I could ask you to comment basically on just that evening, came home, got in an argument. She's a young woman, wanted to be out having fun with her friends. Her mother was, very upset with her. She was stressed out from the stalking. What does that tell you as a doctor in counseling?
It tells me that Morgan may have felt like she didn't belong anywhere. We don't know what happened with her friends. We don't know what the argument was about. Tony hasn't told us. And Morgan may have lost hope. She may have felt like she nothing was ever going to get any better, that the stalking was, going to continue. She was going to continue upsetting her parents. She couldn't live with all these restrictions. And she just gave up hope, and without a whole lot of forethought about it, took an overdose and killed herself. And that's what many people don't understand, is it can take just a little thing sometimes to tip someone who's probably been thinking about it for weeks or months to make that step. And
I'm sure you've seen
bad
I'm
and tragic, but that's,
well, I'm sure you've seen that a lot in your practice, and especially where parents don't want to admit it was suicide. Isn't that a big problem?
It is. The family almost never wants to accept it, except, in cases where, it's very clear. But, mm-hmm. If there's any ambiguity at all, parents and other relatives want to think that the person, it was an accident, somebody did something. It's just so hard to believe. It's so hard to comprehend that someone would do this.
Since Tony isn't here, I'm going to try, I certainly am not representing her in any way, shape, or form, but I'm going to try and look at it from her point of view. She told the police about the stalker. Now, the police were never able to see the stalker. They came out numerous times, apparently. We'll know more when we get the police report exactly what happened. But she said that they didn't treat it as a crime scene. She knew the stalker was in there. They didn't dust for fingerprints. They didn't do anything like that. Don't you think, with the fact that they kept reporting there was a stalker, and that just for the sake of doing it, to be extra, extra sure, is there anything in the autopsy report that could suggest that maybe they should have done something a little more, maybe taped it off as a crime scene? I mean, here this woman is being terrorized by a stalker that she can't see. And the police are just like, well, we can't do anything. Let's go to Rain. We're talking about the Morgan Ingram case. And Web Sleuth has a copy thanks to a Web Sleuth member who just requested the copies in a public documents request. And we have the autopsy and toxicology reports. Morgan's family believes it was murder. The sheriff and the coroner believe it was a suicide. So, Rain, let me go to you. Isn't there something in there that could suggest that they should have put a crime tape around that scene? As a mother, I think everybody can understand that you have a stalker and all of a sudden your daughter is dead. I can understand why you would want to look at it and say, for God's sakes, do something.
Well, if I'm remembering correctly, Mrs. Ingram, Tony, might have mentioned in her blog that the room was taped off with a crime scene tape.
Oh, okay.
For 2 days, but, I haven't seen any evidence in the police reports or anything yet, since we do not have them. But what I, you know, what I do know is, with what I have talked with police and different people, that, you know, there isn't any evidence of a stalking.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have it. And when I get the, you know, when the police reports come in and when then we all see them, then I will be able, you know, we'll all be able to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But from my understanding, there is no evidence that there was ever a stalking.
And I would say as well that, you know, we can sit back, you know, and Monday morning quarterback it, but they did what they thought was appropriate at the time,
mm-hmm.
based on what they knew. We don't know everything they know.
Right.
My main point.
And that's just it. And Rain, you did talk to one of the police officers involved, and I don't know how much you want to tell us, but whatever you can relay to us, that would be appreciated.
Well, I can relate that I've talked to a couple of the detectives. I can relate that the entire police force is saddened by this. They're very heart heavy because the Ingrams have lost their child. They have told that there was never any evidence of a stalking. There was none. That's why the case was put on inactive. In other words, in the state of Colorado, all cases, they don't use the word closed. They use the word inactive.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no evidence put forth to show the detectives that there was a stalking. Now, when the police reports come in, if it says that they have, the police have videos and things like that, then, you know, I will go back and, you know, say, okay, and even talk to the Ingrams, why hasn't the police done something? This needs to be pushed further. But that's pretty much right now as far as, you know, that I can go into and say. Hopefully next week the reports will be out and then everybody will be able to see.
Got it. We have a question here. We have one of our Web Sleuths member, Penn's Fan, is here and wants to know, to please ask Dr. Elizabeth to discuss delusions that occur with very depressed patients. If somebody's really depressed, can they make up a stalker? I mean, it wasn't Morgan that first, it was, I shouldn't say this. I'm going to get this wrong and I need to get it right. It started with the keying of Tony's car when Morgan was driving it and the word bitch written on it. And Morgan didn't want to do anything about it, and that really upset Tony. And Tony was terrified for her daughter. Now, is it possible, and I'm not suggesting this is the case, we just have so many questions, that's why I really wish Tony was here. Dr. Elizabeth, in your counseling and your vast experience that you've dealt with emotional problems like this, what's the possibility of somebody taking a nugget and turning it into a mountain?
That happens quite often. People get fixed on an idea and on a theme and run with that theme, even people who are not delusional, and fail to see the evidence or look at other possibilities. And also, as far as Morgan being delusional, I think it's certainly possible, but she wasn't exhibiting any signs of it that you could see. Her behavior was not disorganized. She was making logical sense. Of course, we only have the mom's report of what she was like and what was going on in those months. But you would expect that someone was having depression to the point of psychosis that they would begin to deteriorate further over
mm-hmm.
time. And I see no evidence of that in the blog. Now, as I said, the blog is just mom's opinion
mm-hmm.
Or mom's side. It's not, we don't have Morgan's story from her point of view, so.
Right.
But I don't see any evidence for that at this time unless something else turns up.
We have a comment from Lyra213, and Lyra is one of our members on Web Sleuths. We really appreciate Lyra's participation. She's one of the kind of a minority as the information comes out. And she points out, and I understand what she's saying here, maybe if the police did their job and took fingerprints, footprint impressions, maybe they'd have that evidence. Apparently there were footprint impressions that the police said, we can't do anything, we can't take an impression, you know, we can't put the plaster down because it's just a misdemeanor. So they were footprints that were literally up against the wall so they could, you know, stand up and look into the window. There were those type of footprints. So the dad took a picture with a ruler, and they have that. Now, that's what Tony said, we haven't seen them yet. Would that be, if you could see something like that, would that add to it, or is that just a, we don't know when they were put there, or somebody could have done it as a joke? I mean, what do you think of that? Let's go to Rain first.
Well, that was one of the things that I have not discussed with the detectives, and will probably be in the police reports when we all get to see them. That could be a joke. The stalker may have not have been a stalker. It could have been, my opinion, it could have been a kid, peeping Tom, peeping in, you know, wanting to, I'm trying to find a better term, wanting to peep in on a young girl while she's undressing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the noise and stuff against the windows, it could have been anything. I mean, we've heard rocks against the windows. The thing that gets me is if someone's throwing a rock against the window or even a hard clump of dirt, you know, looks like there would be a crack in the window or the window would break. The footprint
could
be anybody's footprint.
And they never investigated. I was just going to say they never investigated any natural causes for those noises,
not that we know of.
Or not that we know of, yes.
So what do you mean natural causes? Like, I don't know how a glass could make a natural cause. Talk to me. Let me just tell you briefly, hold on. We're talking to Dr. Elizabeth. She is a counselor, PhD, and has an amazing practice going on and has dealt with many, many hundreds of people who have been going through depression and all kinds of, just runs the gamut of dealing with people with problems. And we have Rain from our Web Sleuths Forum and from our Unclaimed Forum, who has been talking with the detectives in the Morgan Ingram case and helping us kind of put it all together. Dr. Elizabeth, tell us about natural sounds as far as the rocks being thrown against the glass. What else could it be?
I did a little research on it on the internet and found out that windows can make popping sounds if, for instance, the temperature gets very high during the day and very low at night. The frames of the windows will expand and contract, and that can make a popping noise. Bugs hitting the window. One of the people on the blog, one of the commenters, suggested bats, you know, with confused sonar. I don't know. But they heard the noises, and they immediately went to, it's a person, it's a stalker, rather than looking at, you know, there could be other causes for us hearing these noises. Because as I went through the blog, you know, page after page of the blog, there are a few incidents right at the first, and then there are days where there's nothing. Nothing happens.
Right.
And it, then, you know, they hear the noise again, and it just seems like to me there might have been a natural explanation. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a scientist like that, physical scientist, but it just seems to me it was kind of like that obsession and that, you know, fixation on one idea. It has to be a stalker.
It has to be,
really my
right.
comment.
Exactly. I'm going to bring up something here, and it's because it's been brought up by a lot of people. And I touched on it briefly with Toni when I had her on my show. And it's ugly, and I don't even really want to bring it up, but it's something that people have talked about. Again, all opinions here, only going by what we have seen so far. And that can all change if we get the evidence. Munchausen by proxy. Usually that means somebody making a loved one sick for attention. Could it be that somebody is creating a drama around their child for attention?
It could be. Munchausen by proxy is very rare, which is why I keep discounting it in my mind because it is such a rare disorder.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's certainly this, you know, given the scenario that you expressed, this would certainly seem to meet the criteria for Munchausen.
If that's it. If now, again, you know, I put myself in Tony's place a lot. And if I thought somebody was trying to harm my kid, you know what? I would be all over my child. I would. He would end up just hating me and being angry with me. But it would be because I was so scared. And, you know, it's very possible that Tony, if there wasn't a stalker, and that's what the police are saying, and we haven't seen a whole lot of evidence yet of that, but just the fact that there might have been, and all these weird things keep happening. I can see why somebody would get so upset and so emotional and just want to hover over your child and hold onto them and say, no, you know, don't go anywhere. I'm afraid you're going to be hurt. Rain, why don't you weigh in on that?
Well, again, this is just my opinion, but the Munchausen by proxy does strike me pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
My reasons behind it is, Morgan got sick at a young age, 12, I believe it was, with carbon monoxide poisoning, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Not certain why no one else got sick with carbon monoxide poisoning. Morgan was homeschooled. Morgan was underneath her mom's, for lack of better words, thimble, her thumb, constantly. Morgan didn't seem like a typical 20-year-old girl. We hear her mom's side, you know, her mom running out to meet her with, like, pepper spray, stuff like that when she came home. But having children of my own, when they were that age, they didn't want to go with me to
mm-hmm.
a post office. They wanted to hang with their friends. They didn't want me texting them constantly. They were an adult. They wanted to live their own life. So with all these things happening to Morgan, and, you know, she was on the amitriptyline before, supposedly for her stomach and things like that, which it will help stomach, abdominal migraines and problems with your stomach. It's just, it's peculiar. And the fact that, you know, I have no problem with anyone's religious beliefs or and I personally want to be cremated. But I, for one instant, if my child was going through a stalking like this and my child had died, there is no way that I wouldn't, my child would still be at that morgue. There's no way I would have had my child cremated. I would want as much evidence that I could get. And I'm the type of mother that if I have all this evidence, and I can, you know, we haven't seen all the evidence on the blog, and again, this is just me, my personal, my beliefs, my opinion, but I would not be blogging. I would have all this evidence, and I would be beating down the doors of the state attorney, anybody. They would have me under the jail. They wouldn't have me in jail. I'd be under the jail. So to me, I wonder, is she hiding something? And that's where I come up with the Munchausen by proxy.
Mm-hmm. Boy, it is very rare when it does happen. Again, Tony, if you're listening, nobody's accusing you. We just are going by the information that we have. You know, we would love to see those videos, to see the person stalking, to see them run and hide and peek in windows and all of this. I'm sorry, who was going to say something? Was that you, Rain? Or was
yes.
it Kat?
The one
okay.
thing I was going to say, one thing. If the Ingrams are listening and the evidence would point to a murder and they have all this evidence, the Ingrams, I will be there to help them. I may live far, far away, but I will be in contact to show them how to do the proper thing to get the right stuff done. But the
mm-hmm.
blogging is not going to help. But I will be on their side if this is truly a murder. But right now, I honestly don't see it.
Oh, boy. Dr. Elizabeth, we're talking about the Morgan Ingram case. We had Morgan's mother, Toni, on the show a couple of weeks ago. The Ingrams feel that the police have let them down horribly, and they believe they let a stalker kill their daughter and are just shrugging it off. Now, we've seen this type of police behavior before where they have ignored the obvious evidence. But in the cases, the evidence has been obvious. That's the deal here. And I'm just not seeing it here. I want to believe Tony so much. You can't even imagine. Dr. Elizabeth, let's talk a little bit about the toxicology report. That's another one of the reports we have. Tony had a coroner, a pathologist, look at the toxicology report. Dr. Doverson, very well-respected man in Colorado. I really like him personally. He, and I'm paraphrasing here, he basically said she had Flexeril in her system. Flexeril could be used as a date rape drug. Therefore, we need to look into this further since she had a stalker. Now, do you think that the doctor is saying that based on what Tony told him? Is that how that works, where the mother says she has a stalker and then the doctor says, well, she does have Flexeril and that could be a date rape drug? Is that, do you see it that way?
I see it. I'm not sure if Dr. Doverson had the reports, you know, from the police and that kind of thing, and what kind of information he was furnished. If his only information came from the mother, mm-hmm. then that's going to be skewed. If he only had the police's information, it's going to be skewed towards their view. Ideally, he should have had both. We don't know what he had. But, yes, I suppose, and, you know, others are more familiar with date rape have said, you know, Flexeril can be used mm-hmm. as a date rape drug. Okay, but she didn't have any signs of sexual activity or assault. So what was the purpose of giving her that?
Right.
And how did they make her take it?
That's the thing. I would think there would be something on her. Because if they use chloroform, guess what? You're going to have the burns. If they held her down, you're going to have some bruising. I want to talk about, we have somebody in our chat room, and I feel like she's the one lone voice here, and I really want to give her a chance. It's Lyra, and she says, here's what she is saying. You have a girl that threatened Morgan. They claim they know who wrote the word bitch and keyed the car. That girl's mother works at a horse farm where you can get the drugs. Their other friend is a druggie, and the boy that they think was stalking Morgan, they're all living together. Now, let's just say, hypothetically, that they do know that the girl scratched the car and wrote bitch, because apparently Morgan had not got a good feeling from this girl and didn't want to hang around with her, and so the girl thought, well, she's just acting like she's too good for me. Now, this boy is that girl's boyfriend. If they can prove that it was him peeking in the house and her that scratched the bitch, wouldn't that really give them some hardcore evidence to this stalking and to perhaps leading up to something else?
I think it, you know, certainly the police should consider it, but at the same time, there's nothing, again, to indicate that anybody forced her to do anything against her will in that mm-hmm. bedroom. And so it just keeps coming back to that for me, is if it was the stalker, how on earth did they do it? You know, because
right.
she wouldn't have willingly taken a date rape drug. As far as we know, nobody had access to the house that night. How did they do it? Nobody made her drink anything or chloroformed her.
Mm-hmm.
How? Maybe she was being stalked. I'm not saying that she wasn't. I don't know. I just know what I've heard Ryan say, that the police believe there was no stalker, and from what I read on the blogs, but... okay, she was being stalked. That doesn't mean she didn't commit suicide.
Right.
She
and
may
that's
have
just
been
it.
Driven to that.
And that's what I actually asked Tony that question. I said, isn't it possible, Tony, that there was a stalker and all of this going on, and Morgan just said it was too much and took an overdose after having a fight and, you know, coming in late and realizing that, you know, her life will never be normal because she wants to be with her friends and she can't because of the stalker. Isn't it possible she just popped pills? And she said, yes, That was her first thought, actually. And she said, but when the pathologist, Dr. Dobison, looked at the report and then, you know, said that, that's what changed her mind. One thing that people have been saying is all the facts are not out there, and that's absolutely true. Others are saying we have no right to know the facts. Well, that's true, too. But when you have somebody posting a blog, and when you have somebody asking for donations, and then you have such an ambiguous case, I think that person owes it to the public to show them the hardcore evidence and not just say, you have to trust me, believe me, help me, you know, and help us pay for the investigation. There's nothing wrong with putting a link up and asking for money. I get it. It's real expensive what they want to have done, and there's lots of kind people out there to help. But before we, as a group, Web Sleuths, can say, yeah, we get behind this, we need to see the evidence. Right, Rain?
I agree. We need the evidence. We need the police records. We already have the autopsy talks report. There's just blogging on a blog and taking someone's word for it is not, in my opinion, evidence. I could sit down and blog all day if I wanted to about something, but we need the evidence. And if she has this evidence, it would be in her best interest to help her, if this was a murder, to solve it, to put it out. Go bang on those doors, and she'll get better help from everyone that's reading the blog than she would be getting by withholding the evidence. Because if she puts the evidence out there and it shows that there was a stalker and we find evidence that there is or was a murder, I would imagine everybody's going to be on this case and they're going to be tracking down this murder, and they're not going to rest until justice is served.
I'll tell you
but
what.
Until we have evidence, it's not going to happen. It's just going to be a lot of hearsay. And that's, you know, Tony lived it, I did not. But basically, a blog is hearsay. We were not there. We were not there to physically witness what happened. We only know one side of the story, and that is Tony's. And that's all we'll ever know until we just need the evidence. If she wants our help or anybody's help, she needs to put out the evidence so we all can really help.
You are as right as rain, Rain, absolutely. There is no question. And that's therein lies the problem with me. My name is Tricia Griffith. You're listening to Tricia's True Crime Radio. We're talking about the strange case of Morgan Ingram, a 20-year-old who was found dead. The police say it was suicide. Her parents and family say she had a stalker who snuck into the home and killed her, but there was no sign of that happening. According to the police report, the autopsy doesn't show anything. There was no struggle whatsoever. So it's very, very ambiguous. Now, here's the thing, and I wrote Tony an email, and I said, look, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, Tony, but I have been in the quote-unquote public eye, the internet public eye, and I have been trashed, torn apart, eaten alive, all of that. And the one thing that has helped me all along is to tell the truth, just tell the truth. And what I told her was, I said, you have a link up asking for donations. Since she's not a charity, she can take that money and spend it any way she wants. I'm not saying she is, but she can. She has every right to. What I told her to do, so she doesn't face that criticism, put up receipts on what she's spending the money for, private investigator, you know, mileage, you know, fixing a tire so she can go talk to somebody. Just put up the receipts so you show that that money is going to the investigation for Morgan. Then people can't complain. Then people can't say, you know, well, where the hell did all the money go? If you're open and honest, that is the best policy. It's one thing to want to do it on your own time, Tony. It's another thing to get people involved and then say, well, I've got the evidence, but I'm not going to show you right now. We're just going to go around and find the evidence that we can to help you. And we will, I'm sorry, I'm just reading some of the comments here. We will help you if there, like I said, if there's a hint of a crime, boy, you got us. And it's a strong army, isn't it, Rain?
Oh, yes. We are a very strong army. You know, that's what we do. We take the case apart. We take evidence apart. We all have different opinions, and we all come together as one. That's what makes Web Sleuths so great, is because we can tear this stuff apart and we can look at stuff with fresh eyes, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
We step back out of the, we're not in the limelight, we're not in the spotlight, we're behind our keyboards. We can step back and we can concentrate and we can look at stuff and we can research and we can, I mean, we can do it all. And yes, if, you know, I'm here to say, if it ever showed out that it was murder, I'd be, I'll help.
Yeah,
but right
absolutely.
Now, based on what evidence I'm seeing, I still say it was a suicide. I'm sorry, that's just my opinion, but we need the evidence. And if she wants help and wants Web Sleuth to back her and really help her and get, if it is a murderer or a stalker, and get them behind bars, bring us the evidence. Bring us the evidence. That's all we need.
Somebody brought up an interesting point that even if the stalker didn't kill her, if the stalker drove her to suicide, they might be able to charge that way, manslaughter or something, harassment, anything. Dr. Elizabeth, we're going to wrap it up with you here. Is there anything you would like to add, anything you'd like to say to Toni and her family tonight?
Of course I do. Toni, I'm so sorry about the loss of your daughter. I know that your grief must be just overwhelming you. And I'm hopeful that you and your family can find peace and serenity in the midst of all this chaos.
Thank you. That was very eloquently put. I do want to comment that we have a poll up at Web Sleuth, and it's about Morgan. Was it murder or suicide? We have Morgan was murdered by a stalker. 12.5% say yes, Morgan was murdered not by a stalker but by someone else. 4.55% say yes, Morgan committed suicide. 23.86%, Morgan died of natural causes. Nobody says she did. Morgan's stalker was real and Morgan committed suicide. 13.64%, Morgan's stalker was not real and Morgan committed suicide, 30.68%. And then other, we have 14.77%. So it's still pretty, you know, Morgan's stalker was not real and Morgan committed suicide is at almost 31%. That's not huge, you know. So it's still kind of, people are on the fence about this just a little bit. And Rain, let's talk one more thing about the roof. Recently, Toni posted about a psychic. Tell us about that and the roof for us.
Well, excuse me. Yes, she had posted about a psychic who had led them to look on the roof. And considering what I did a little research and realized that the roof is cedar shake. And if anyone is familiar with cedar shake roofs, which I know a lot of people are, against asphalt roofs, cedar shake is wood on wood. I don't see how anyone could be on a cedar shake roof and not make a lot of noise, because there is no padding, no buffing like an asphalt. A squirrel could drop a nut on the roof, and it may even sound like a, you know, boom, like a bomb's going off. So, but that's, you know, that just to me, and the fact that the psychic told them they climbed on the roof, used possibly a telescoping pole or something like that to tap on the window and stuff like that. But I have never heard of a cedar shake roof that was going to be quiet. And anyway, cedar shakes, you know, you can easily snag your clothes. You know, things like that could have been up there. I mean, he could have snagged clothes, or she could have, you know, saying the stalker's a he. We don't know the stalker is a he. We don't know if the stalker's a she. We don't even know if there's a stalker. But, you know, there would be too much noise on the cedar shake roof. And I don't get where there would be somebody on the roof. And I've seen the roof pitch, and I really don't see how they could even get up there, honestly, without being noticed.
Rain, I would like you to give us some parting thoughts to Toni and her family as well.
Mr. and Mrs. Ingram, I'm truly sorry again about the loss of your daughter. If you're listening, you know, I do, based on the evidence that I've seen, that's what gives me my opinion. Again, it's only my opinion. If you ever need anything, come to Web Sleuth, look me up. If this is, you need help, if it is murder and you need help, I'm here to help you. I wish all your family well during this trying time. And it's going to be a long road. If you ever need anyone to talk to, pick up the phone and call Tricia. She's wonderful.
Absolutely.
She's always
oh,
on
boy.
Your side.
Absolutely.
She's always on your side. She's never judgmental. None of us are judgmental on Web Sleuth. Only thing that we're doing is trying to find out if your daughter was really murdered. And if she was, we will help you. And if there's anything that anyone can do, call on Web Sleuth. We're there for you. And again,
absolutely.
My condolences to you, your husband, and your family.
Well, Rain, thank you so much. And Dr. Elizabeth, thank you for weighing in. We appreciate both of you joining us tonight. Again, the work that you do on the Unclaimed Forum is absolutely amazing. Go to websleuth.com/forums, and you'll be able to see the incredible work that Rain and all kinds of people help her. Nemo's mom, all everybody is up there helping her. So thank you, Rain. And thank you, Dr. Elizabeth. It was very helpful to have you on tonight. We really appreciate it. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Oh, Kimster, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Boy, that was just wild, wasn't it?
Yes, this situation is very wild. And
it is.
You know me, I'm a fact finder, so I'm still like going, need more facts. So,
and I agree. I right now, I would have to say it looks like a suicide. But you know what? I understand where Tony's coming from. You know, if somebody was doing that to my kid and the police just kind of shrugged their shoulders, I get it. I understand it. We just need a little bit more of the evidence. That's all we need. And hopefully we'll have a lot more when the police report comes in, and maybe we can even get some more documents as well to help us. But Kimster, it is time now for the Web Sleuth Hot Cold Case of the Week, and this is really unusual. Tell us about this. This is very interesting.
Do, 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 do.
Oh, I keep forgetting the music. I swear I'll get you music. I promise.
So you haven't had complaints during the week about my own tooting my own horn.
It's beautiful.
Okay.
It's stunning.
Because I know if you get complaints, then you'll probably get that sound bite a lot faster.
That's right.
Well, Tricia, this week's hot cold case can be found in the cold case forum, but it also fits in the unidentified forum and the serial killer forum. So there's a lot of facets to it. In 1978, Patricia Campbell, 15 years old, and Tina Anderson, 12 years old, disappeared together from a Pioneer Day festival in Alameda Park in Pocatello, Idaho. Their remains were found in an isolated garage in Oneida County, 60 miles away. And get this, near their bodies were the remains of another, still to this day, unidentified girl between the age of 15 to 20 years old. There's where the unidentified part comes in.
Exactly.
In 1981, so that's 78, 79, 80, 81, 4 years later, 14-year-old Linda Smith was abducted from her home right in front of her 9-year-old brother. Mm. To this day, he is haunted by what he saw and needs our help. At first, police said she was a runaway until 11 months later when her remains were found. It's really terrible that they called her a runaway because her brother was actually pushed to the ground by the assailant. So we're talking about police that don't always make the right call. Here we go.
Kimster, back then in 1981, there wasn't any, the FBI didn't get involved. Everybody was a runaway. You didn't even report, the police wouldn't even do a report for 24 hours. It was a totally different time. And that's so tragic because lives were lost because of that way of thinking. And thank God it's better today. But I'm sorry, Kimster,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, that's okay because another life was lost because of this. And that is in 1983. Cindy Bringhurst, also age 14, was abducted while babysitting in Pocatello. Her body was found weeks later in Mink Creek, just outside the city. Because of the fact that all of the girls were around the same age and all attended Alameda Junior High, it's hard to think that these crimes could, or it's hard to think they couldn't be from the same individual. So that's why I'm saying this probably is a serial killer case.
Absolutely.
That's my deduction.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Pocatello, by the way, and it is a very small area. And, you know, it's a bigger town than where I am now, but but it's a small town, basically. And this back then it was even smaller. So if you want to help put together the pieces to these horrible crimes and find out what happened, please go to www.websleuths.com. And in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a picture of Pocatello, Idaho, along with a link to the thread. And if you're not a member of Web Sleuths, what do you do?
Well, by gosh, you register, oh my golly, oh my heck, as we say here in Utah. You flip and do it right now. It's free. We just need an email address. We don't need anything else. Everyone freaks out. Oh, you need our personal information. No, we don't. We just need an email address, and then you are in like Flint, and you can join in, and you can really make a difference because, and we stress this every week, but every week we have new listeners. Just even if you think, well, I can't do any of that, doesn't matter. Come in and post. I'm thinking of you. I'm sorry for your loss. That does so, so much. And again, on Web Sleuths, everyone matters to us. Okay, there's lots of people out there that, especially in this day and age, that feel like they've been thrown away because they don't have a lot of money or they can't get out of the house. You are important to us on Web Sleuths. We want you to join our group. Okay, that's websleuths.com/forums. You can find everything you want there, right, Kimster?
Right. And Tricia, I wanted to mention tonight, too, you know, we're always asking everybody to join as though, you know, we never get anybody. But, you know, I was doing the cold case, the featured cold case for probably a year before the radio show started. And and even when we started the radio show, we didn't do it every week. I'll tell you what, just recently I started noticing, because I'll go back and check them out, you know, after the first week, we are getting a lot of participation now in the cold cases that are featured.
That's
I just want to thank everybody out there. I'm noticing so much more participation than I noticed when I first started doing this, and it does mean a lot, and it's getting the word out there again, and it means things even to, we have a member right now, I think it's Flourish, and in this Pocatello case, and she was living there when she was young, and she remembers the fear, and it's just, you know, it's soothing to know that other people still care, even the people that just lived in the area and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I want to remind everybody, I haven't gotten any requests for 2 weeks now. If you're a family member, a friend, or like Flourish, you were a young child when a crime was committed and it scared you as a child and you'd just like to see it resolved, you know, just something like that, let me know. Just give me send me a private message on websleuths.com and I will put you in line to be your case to be the featured cold case.
Thank you, Kimster. And Ollie asked us to repeat the names of the girls that were murdered. I'll do that really quickly here. Tell me if I miss anything. Patricia Campbell, Tina Anderson, and let's see, Linda Smith, and Cindy Bringhurst. Is that right?
Right, and the unidentified girl, too. So those
and the
of you that frequent the unidentified forum, please revisit this case and see if we can't find her. In fact, I'm going to go look. I don't know if we have a thread for her in the unidentified forum. I'll make sure we do as well.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. Remember, we will be moving the Morgan Ingram thread to the private area, members only. That's another good reason to join us, because you can get into all the members' areas and have a little more fun. And if we hear of anything that looks like a crime, we will put Morgan right back out there in Crimes in the News, and we will help her parents any way we can. Thank you so much. It's Trisha's True Crime Radio, where every week we discuss true crime and current events, and we always do it with common sense. Good night, everyone.